What prompted you, Rico Moore, to take such a hard look at this so-called study?
So I first became aware of the predator control plans after their approval in an article by Bruce Finley of the Denver Post. He stated in the article that, quote, state wildlife officials, meaning CPW, this year did not oppose plans to allow up to 15,000 new oil and gas wells in the heart of critical deer habitat in northwestern Colorado, even though agency researchers have acknowledged oil and gas development hurts deer. So this discrepancy signaled to me that there was more going on and an investigative report was appropriate.
I think it's telling that the title of part five of the series is looking at motives for killing the predators and not motives for the study. Your thoughts about that?
So CPW's purported motives are clear, right? To increase neonate mule deer growth rates in the spring and summer by killing mountain lions and black bears. Because of the controversy surrounding the plans, the lawsuits included, and the backlash from preeminent wildlife biologists, there is the possibility that there are other motives than the one CPW has put forth. So with that said, it also helps to look at the naming of the project over time. The plans have been referred to in CPW documents as predator control plans, predator management plans, and the studies. Each of these appellations comes with different meanings. It's interesting that they're not called mule deer growth rate studies, for example. And on a related note, so the importance of the name here is at the heart of the lawsuit, whether or not these actions are bona fide scientific research or simply management actions. Because of the two lawsuits by Wildlife Guardians and Center for Biological Diversity, which challenge crucial aspects of the plans at both the state and federal level, the investigation into possible motives was warranted.
Well, you take a look at several reasons why Colorado Parks and Wildlife's motives are questionable. I'm not sure we'll have time to go into all of them, but the first one is oil and gas industry influence. Talk about how the oil and gas industry is involved here.
So we found through Colorado Open Records request that of the total $2.95 million that has funded CPW's mule deer research in the Piance Basin and has formed much of the basis for the predator control plans since 2007, $1.6 million or 54% of that funding came directly from oil and gas companies, with another $1.19 million coming from oil and gas industry proceeds via the state severance tax between 2008 and 2011. Another $150,000 came from the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. So CPW's own research found that increases in oil and gas activity, such as drilling rigs, well pads, pipelines, processing and transfer facilities, and roads, and residential development on deer ranges are not compatible with the goal of maintaining highly productive mule deer populations. So it's interesting that that's CPW's own research. Also, CPW proceeded with land exchanges with two oil companies in the Piance area. In 2006, CPW exchanged lands with Shell, and in 2012, CPW exchanged lands with Exxon. So because the parcels of land they were exchanging were originally purchased with hunting license and federal aid and wildlife restoration funds, they had to perform an environmental assessment for the exchanges. And interestingly, in both of the environmental assessments, there's similar language and sometimes verbatim that specifically links big game, including mule deer, population decline with oil and gas development in the area. But when we asked CPW Director Bob Broscheid if oil and gas development in the area was causing decline in mule deer populations, he said, quote, I think it's an oversimplistic view of what's going on, and that he thinks oil and gas is not a limiting factor on mule deer populations. Statewide, loss of habitat is absolutely key. But in the case of the study in this area, the Piance, for this part of the state only, it's not oil and gas. So again, the discrepancy warranted investigation, because in two different contexts, that of the land exchanges with Exxon and Shell, respectively, and the predator control plan, CPW states the impacts of oil and gas extraction to mule deer populations has different effects. And so the obvious answer to your question, Amy, after all that context, is if mountain lions and black bears are to blame for limiting mule deer populations instead of the oil and gas industry, then the oil and gas industry might enjoy friendlier operating environment in Colorado and beyond.
In your piece, you mentioned how nuisance bears have been relocated to the study area for several years, but it doesn't seem like CPW has paid much attention to the impact these bears could have on mule deer or CPW grant funding. Can you talk briefly about this conundrum?
I first confirmed that very fact about the relocation of nuisance or problem black bears to the area of the Piceance with Chuck Anderson, who's the CPW Piceance principal investigator for that area, and also later with Ron Velarde, who's the Northwest regional manager for CPW, who told me that they've been translocating bears to that area for at least the last 5 years, and mostly in the same period of time that CPW claims to have seen increased predation from black bears, neonate mule deer fawns. So when Anderson first confirmed this, he said he'd only learned of the fact recently. And this was during my interview with him in January, after the Parks and Wildlife Commission had approved the predator control plans and after CPW submitted their grant to the Fish and Wildlife Service, which comprises 75% of the total project cost.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who granted that, if they knew about the relocation of black bears to the Piceance area and how that impacted the science of the study when they approved the grant. And they replied that they approved the plans as they were submitted to them. And the issue of relocated black bears isn't specifically addressed in the environmental assessment or the plans the Parks and Wildlife Commission approved in December of last year. And then, you know, when I asked the Fish and Wildlife Service if this invalidated CPW's grant, they cited pending litigation against other agencies and declined to comment. I submitted an open records request to CPW recently to release the number of black bears relocated to the Piceance area, and they refused, citing public interest and that the information was part of a scientific study. And as I understand it, that information didn't start off as being part of a study, but became part of a predator control studies, which is also strange because CPW has released several scientific research documents to me under CORA in the past. But in any case, Fish and Wildlife Services declined to comment about whether or not CPW's grants are invalidated because of this information and CPW's refusal to release information about the translocated black bears is another one of those mysteries at this point.
You know, after reading your series, it's almost like this so-called study, this predator control plan, that has a lot of loose ends, a lot of holes in it, and doesn't really make much sense. Rico Moore, what conclusion did you come to by the end of this piece in terms of CPW's motives for this predator control plan?
So, you know, I have spent a lot of time delving into the history of the plans, the context of the plans, the spirit of the plans, et cetera. And, you know, in terms of conclusions, and, you know, I'm still following this issue, and I plan to continue writing about it and covering it. You know, all I can say is what's been said in the articles, and that there are a lot of discrepancies between the type of conclusions that CPW has come to in different contexts. So that, to me, is what's most curious.
Rico Moore, reporter with the Boulder Weekly, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
That does it for this week's News Brief on KDNK. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.